This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. One day in April 1945, a young man knocked on the door of Richard Strauss's villa in Bavaria. His name was John Delancey, and he was a soldier in the U.S. Army stationed in the area. But in civilian life, he was the principal oboe of the Pittsburgh Symphony, and he'd been brought to visit Strauss by a mutual acquaintance. Delancey knew Strauss's music well, and during the course of the afternoon, he asked the composer, given the many beautiful oboe solos he had written in his works, if he had ever considered writing a concerto for oboe. Strauss said simply, no. And that, it seemed, was that. But an idea had taken root, and several months later, after returning to America, Delancey received a letter from Strauss inviting him to Zurich for the premiere of the composer's new oboe concerto, a concerto dedicated to the young American. After finishing his Alpine Symphony in 1915, Strauss spent the next three decades writing almost nothing but operas and other vocal music. He even complained at one point that he was completely uninspired at the prospect of writing a piece of music with no poetic or dramatic plan attached. As he entered his 70s, though, with World War II raging around him, things began to change. As usual, he was motivated by practical considerations. The German way of life was in ruins, and prospects for opera were not good. Theaters were going up in flames or collapsing in rubble. Musicians and technical personnel were absorbed into the armed forces, and 1944, the few theaters that were still functioning were shut down in an attempt to save on fuel. Strauss finished his last opera, Capriccio, in 1941, and from that point on until his four last songs, he wrote almost exclusively instrumental music, much of it nostalgic, like his two sonatinas for winds, or elegiac, like his Metamorphosen for strings. With the future of his world uncertain, Strauss managed to find the strength and concentration to go back to his past for one last bundle of masterpieces, major and minor, and full of elegance and purity, including his concerto for oboe. Oboists tend to go pale when you say the words Strauss concerto, mostly because of the very opening of the piece. After two quick twitches from the cellos, the oboe has a solo of 57 measures in a fairly leisurely tempo and without so much as a single 16th rest. But this technical challenge is in service to a beautiful and very operatic melodic line. And if you're occasionally reminded of Strauss's Symphonia Domestica or Ariadne auf Naxos, it's probably because he wanted you to be. There are more than a few moments when the work seems like a study for the four last songs. The orchestral framework is intricately detailed, never overwhelming the soloist. And that little cello twitch that started the music rolling? Turns out to be not just a recurring feature of the first movement, but also a bit of common ground between it and the gentle second movement. This andante also begins with an endurance challenge, a melody that spins out over 33 unbroken measures. It eventually spills into an elaborate solo cadenza with orchestral punctuation. and the cadenza leads directly into a spirited rondo finale. A bit of graceful nostalgia for the 18th century. After an intensely lyrical passage by the strings, which leads to another shorter solo cadenza, Strauss moves into an expansive coda. The tempo of this allegro section is actually slower than the one that comes before it, but the beats allow for subdivision into very fast notes so that the effect of the close is quick and brilliant. John DeLancey did not get to play the premiere of this work, or even the American premiere in 1948. In fact, he didn't get to play his concerto until 1964, by which time he was a member of the Philadelphia Orchestra, and he didn't get to record it until 1988 after he'd retired. But the work he inspired has continued to delight audiences and oboists with its operatic grace, rococo elegance, and almost naive charm, as if Strauss, in his 80s, were reaching back across the years to remind us of a simpler time. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.